So becoming emotionally balanced, the first step is realizing how unbalanced we are, okay? And realizing that imbalance, thank you. The imbalance is coming from me, okay? It's not coming from the other person. It's like we did our motivation at the beginning of the class. If we look into everybody's heart, everybody equally wants happiness. There's no difference between ourselves and others. Okay? If we look into everybody's heart, everybody equally wants to be free of suffering. No difference between ourselves and others. Okay? And no difference among other people either. Everybody, whether we like them or don't like them. Okay? George Bush wants to be happy and be free of suffering. Think about that. Okay? Yeah, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, they want to be happy and free of suffering. Have you ever considered that? Yeah? No, we don't consider that. We just form stereotypes of people and then dislike them. Okay? The person who sells the cauliflower out on the street, they want to be happy and be free of suffering. Okay? The bus driver, or all the people who are crowded onto the bus with you in a Delhi bus, okay, they all want to be happy and be free of suffering. Do we ever think that? Okay? So we can see that how we see the world is dependent on our mind. Yeah. And we have to retrain our mind to see the world in a more accurate way. We're not going to become balanced by just sitting there waiting for something outside to change. But we become balanced by realizing how imbalanced and how biased we are, and then retraining our mind to see living beings in a different way. Okay? So this takes constant practice, but it's really quite a beautiful practice, and it's a practice that we can do anywhere, at any time, with anybody. And if we do it, it really changes things. Okay? So when you're stuck in a traffic jam, Delhi has plenty of traffic jams, I've noticed. Yeah? So you're sitting there, stuck in a traffic jam. Instead of, you know what everybody does in Delhi traffic jam. You know, nobody can go anywhere. But who cares? Let's, honk the horn and make a lot of noise. Doesn't change anything. So instead of doing that, how about just looking at all the people in all the other vehicles? Yeah, the buses, the rickshaw drivers, the cows, because everything's happening in Delhi, looking all around you and thinking, they all want to be happy and free from suffering, just like me. Yeah? Thinking that when you're sitting there in the middle of traffic jam, wouldn't that totally change how you were relating to your environment? They all want to be happy and be free of suffering, just like me. There's something, we know that intellectually, but developing an attitude that trains our mind to see other people in that way is actually quite profound. Hmm? Yeah. Looking at the dogs that run around the street. Yeah? Okay. Looking at the beggars. And thinking, they want to be happy and they want to be free of suffering, just like me. And then that opens our heart towards them. We may not be able to eliminate all of their suffering. We may not be able to make them completely happy. But at least we respect them as living beings. And often respect is something very, very profound. Often, respect is actually worth more to others than any physical thing that we can give them. One of my friends and students in the States was telling me about an experience he had when he went to Berkeley, California, because we had been talking about a class in our Dharma class about generosity to others and, you know, being respectful and this kind of thing when we give to others. So he was in Berkeley, and there's a lot of street people there, and there was one woman just, you know, begging on the street. And he went up to her, and he had a dollar, and he offered her the dollar very respectfully and looked her in the eyes and said, you know, this is all I'm giving you now, or all I can give you now, but I really wish you well. And she started to cry, because just the idea of somebody saying, I wish you well, somebody saying, I care about you, yeah, that was worth more to her than the dollar that he gave. Okay? So sometimes just when we have a heart connection with somebody, that can be an incredible gift to them. And we can have heart connections with total strangers when our mind is well trained in this attitude of they want to be happy and free from suffering as intensely as I do. Because then, wherever we are, whoever we're with, we know something very important about that person. And we can connect with them on a real heart level. So it becomes actually quite profound. And then that ability to show respect comes naturally. Renuk asked me just now to talk about a little bit about the prison work I do. And this thing of respect, I've noticed, is quite an important thing. When people are in prison, you can have entire outbreaks of upset and even violence over a small issue of respect. Okay. And why is that? Because usually people in prison don't feel respected. Okay. Very often they come from families where there hasn't been a lot of respect shown to them as individuals. Or they come from social groups that have not been shown a lot of respect. Or because in their own heart, there is this feeling of, you know, I'm not worth very much. And so often when we feel I'm not worth very much, that's when we put ourselves out as I'm worth a lot. Okay? And so respect becomes a very big issue. So I find in the prison work that I do that just small actions of showing somebody else just regular human respect brings incredibly profound results. Now, I never really thought about that before. Things that we take for granted become very important when you don't have them. So, for example, you know, just looking in somebody's eyes and saying please or thank you. Or writing a letter when you say you're going to write a letter. Okay. Things like this, giving somebody some responsibility or acknowledging the help that they give, it has very profound impacts on a lot of the people in prison, because they don't have respect from the other inmates, from the system, from the prison guards. And, you know, so I really came to realize that this heart connection that we feel with others that acknowledges their humanity and their wish for happiness and freedom from suffering is a very, very important thing in human relationships. Yeah, that was always something that really surprises me, how much they react to things that I just take for granted. That all of us take for granted. But it gives you an idea of just small ways that we can be of benefit to others. Okay? Just respecting them, acknowledging them, instead of elbowing them out of the way, treating them like objects or bossing them around. Okay? Many small ways and small things we can do to reaffirm that heart connection with other living beings. His Holiness Dalai Lama, I remember one time in one of the conferences he had with scientists, we began to talk about self-esteem, okay? And as I was speaking at the beginning of the talk, how self-esteem can very often be a manifestation of our own self-centeredness. Okay? Because we don't worry about anybody else's self-esteem, do we? Yeah? Do you worry about if somebody else has low self-esteem? Oh, we don't. You know, we're too involved in thinking about our own lack of self-esteem. Yeah? So, at one of these conferences, His Holiness was so curious, well, who has self-esteem problems? And, you know, it's a room full of, like, PhDs, you know, and MAs, and people are very educated. And they all looked around themselves and said, oh, well, we all do. And His Holiness was so surprised. He said, but you're so successful. How can you have low self-esteem? Yeah, he was really, genuinely, sincerely puzzled by why people have self-hatred and why we don't believe in ourselves and have so much self-criticism and guilt and this kind of stuff. He was really genuinely puzzled. So we started brainstorming, you know, different cultural things or religious things or whatever family background stuff that may have led to all of us having these kinds of self-esteem problems. And then later on, after that conversation, I began to notice that in his public talks, His Holiness used to, you know, he would talk more about the value of compassion, in which he always talks about, is the value of compassion. But he especially talked about compassion as an antidote to low self-esteem. And at the beginning, this really puzzled me. It's like, wait a minute. Compassion is focused on others. If I don't love myself, how is having love and compassion for others going to help me with my own low self-esteem? Because I don't love myself. I need to love myself first. Okay. So I was kind of puzzled, you know, by the way he was teaching. But, you know, His Holiness is my teacher, so even though I don't understand everything, I give him the benefit of the doubt. I figure he knows a lot more than I do, you know. So I don't understand it. Keep an open mind, you know. Try and think about this a little bit. So I thought about it over a period of time, and I began to see that in my own experience, when I was sitting there, spinning around my own self, low self-esteem, my own problems, my own guilt, my own incompetence, my own anger, and my own resentment, and me, and everything I don't like, and how all these other people are nasty to me, and they don't do things my way, and they're all out to get me, and they don't appreciate me, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. And I began to see that when I got into that mood and spiraled around that, I was so focused on me that I made my own problem worse. And as soon as I tried to do some meditation on compassion and think about the lives of others, then my own personal problem looked totally different. Okay. When I began to really think about others' feelings and how they perceive the world and what their lives are like and what their problems are like and how they want to be happy and what makes them happy, as soon as I started focusing my mind outwards on others, okay, all my own self-esteem problems actually became rather insignificant. And I began to see that I created all this complete mess in my mind about lacking faith in myself simply because I was thinking too much about myself in a very out of balance way. But as soon as I turned my mind and started really looking at others and connecting with others, my own heart seemed to be much more peaceful. And it wasn't because I was criticizing myself, telling myself I'm so selfish. It wasn't because I was ignoring my own problems or rationalizing them away. It was simply because I was seeing things in a much more balanced way. So my own emotional state became more balanced. And in that way, I began to understand why His Holiness talks about compassion as a panacea for our own emotional distress. Because I really began to see that when I have problems, I focus so much on my own problems that I make them worse. Do any of you do that too?
Yeah.
My problem just becomes enormous. Yeah. And the more I think about it, you know, I just make it huger and huger and huger. But as soon as I like to put my own problem aside and open my heart to others, like, my problem really is actually quite manageable. I mean, whenever we all have problems, right? Yeah? Anybody here who's free of problems? No. We all have problems. And I'm sure we could all spend at least an hour telling everybody all of our problems. And if they have more time, we have more time to tell them more of our problems. Okay. There's no difficulty with that. Okay. We all have problems. Yeah. But when I sometimes open my mind and look at the situation of other beings and then look at my problem, then my problem doesn't seem so bad. It's actually quite workable. Yeah? It's actually quite doable. Now you might say, oh, but you don't understand. I have cancer. You know, my problem's worse than your problem. But still, if we look at the situation of other living beings and what they're going through, what they're experiencing, you know, then even having cancer, it doesn't have to be a big deal. It's our mind that makes it a too big deal. I talked to somebody once. Well, actually, it was at a retreat I was leading. And a young woman raised her hand during the Q&A session. And she said, because we're talking about compassion like this. And she said that she had been quite ill and had gone to the doctor for some tests and a diagnosis. And he had, I forget what disease that he diagnosed her with, but some kind of really awful one that maybe was terminal, and gave her this very bad diagnosis. And she was quite young at the time, maybe late 20s, early 30s. And her first reaction was, what's happening in my life? This isn't fair. You know? And then she had the thought, oh, what would the Dalai Lama do in my situation? Okay? How would His Holiness look at this situation of having this terrible disease? You know? And the thought that came to her mind, she told me, was the words, just be kind. And she began to see, yeah, that's exactly what His Holiness would do. Even if he had a terrible disease, he would just be kind. Okay? Be kind to the doctors, to the nurses, to the technicians, to his own family, to whoever was around. That would be his practice. And so she said that she took that as her practice. Just be kind. And that's what she practiced. She just made a very strong determination. No matter what happens in this disease, I'm just going to be kind. And she said that as soon as she shifted her mind to make that a priority, then her whole attitude about her own problem in her life changed. Interestingly, okay, after a while they did some more tests and they realized they had misdiagnosed her. And that she actually didn't have such a horrible disease. thought that was quite interesting. Yeah. But, you know, just from her own experience, she said that when she took that as a practice, just be kind, and started to think about, oh, what's the experience of this doctor working with me? What's the experience of, you know, this nurse or this technician or this other patient in the hospital? Yeah. But as soon as she opened her heart towards others, she realized, you know, that her own mind settled down. And it was calm and okay. You know, whatever I have, I have. This is the reality of the situation. But my life still has meaning. It still has purpose. And that meaning and purpose come through having a kind heart and expressing that kind heart to whoever happens to be in front of us at any particular moment. So, you know, we don't have to be the Dalai Lama. We aren't. We don't have to be Mother Teresa, and we aren't. But, you know, we have the ability to influence people in a way that the Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa don't. Okay. Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa don't live in your family. They don't go to work in your workplace. Yeah. They aren't sitting on the bus with the same people you're sitting on. Okay. So whoever is in front of us at any particular moment, if we can have that feeling of connection and show them respect and just be kind, it spreads a lot of kindness in this world, and it transforms our own hearts and minds and transforms the experiences of the others that we come in contact with. Okay? So I think this is a very good way to become more emotionally balanced ourselves. Okay? It doesn't involve repressing our own problems or anything. It just is about enlarging our scope and realizing that the fabrications of our self-centered mind are not reality, and they're not everything that exists in this universe. Okay? And so opening our heart to others.